Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Jacob and Aki. How are you two doing?
I'm doing great. I'm sorry I was late.
She was pooping.
I was eating. I'm still eating. Hungry.
So you were eating poop? Gross.
Bree's here, yummy. So shut up with the poop talk.
Hi, Bree.
Why can't we get like a minute into the show without it being ruined? Just completely. Like, we should
because you allow me to be on the show.
I was about to say, we have had good openings before. They were just ones where he wasn't here.
And why wasn't I there?
Because you were poop.
There you go.
Or the couple times where you were asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good too, because then Joe calls me. And then that ends up on the podcast.
Hello?
What you doing?
What time is it?
Time for you to wake up, buddy. So, Bree, how are you doing? Welcome back to the show. How are things going for you?
I'm doing all right. I am about to go through a recovery program, recovering from this game I have been addicted to.
Game.
Yeah. Placid Plastic Duck Simulator.
Oh, gee.
I've gotten all the achievements I can get and all the ducks I can get, so now I have to put it down.
But are you?
Maybe after tonight.
Not putting it down anytime soon.
I'm playing it right now.
What are you doing it? I've heard about the game. I've seen people playing the game. What is it?
It's mostly an idle game, to be fair. There are the most game that there is requires some specific interaction once you get certain ducks. But the ducks ultimately do different things and they'll interact with each other. But it's weird. Like every 3 minutes you get a new duck and you're like, what's the new duck? Apparently though, on Steam, the PC version of this game, there's some cool stuff that you can uncover. I kind of went on a weird deep dive through the community section to like, see there's some sort of thing where you have to like name a duck that it's way more than Abs Animals. All right. There's this actual game to this, first of all. But no, there's this whole like secret thing where you like name a duck based on like it tells you this curtain opens and it gives you a clue to the duck. And then there's a note about a code to some safe or extra room or something. And you have to like figure out ASCII code to name the duck right. And then you go to this other duck and you listen to some Morse code BS on a radio station. And that gives you the code for the door, and I don't know what the door opens, but I don't think I can do that in my version, and I'm really sad. And now I have to get this on Steam.
Wait, so did you already know? Is this all randomized? Or, like, are you able to just hop into a guide and, like, get the Morse code thing? Or did you actually learn Morse code for this
game? No. I was just reading in this forum about, like, all the different, like, weird things that people have discovered you can, in fact, do with this game on Steam. I don't have access to that. I don't know. It's just, I did a deep duck dive, and here
deep
we are.
Duck dive.
Yeah. It was a surprisingly entertaining game. I had a friend who was telling me he used to have like plastic, like rubber ducks, like in his hot tub, and he would like watch them race, and that was like a relaxing thing, like watching a real duck pond. And like I gotta say, it's just exciting. And then you can name all of your ducks. So I've been naming them after people and things. There's totally like a disco ball duck, and it like plays disco music when you click on it. There's a cat duck, and it like meows, and you can get abducted. By aliens. I didn't even make that joke.
And you really quacked me up.
I know. And then it gives you like a little replacement duck that's an alien. Hey, kids. And it makes like alien quacking noises.
That's amazing.
I named it Probe.
Also amazing is the Random Rec reviews just followed us. So I guess we didn't disappoint. Give it time, my friend. Give it time. So is this a fun game? Like, how much is it? Is this a $10 game?
It's $20? Like, it's like $9 on Xbox, I think. Yeah.
Oh, it's an Xbox picking up? Game.
Yeah. I mean, it's I don't know. I don't know how to explain why I like it, but I like it. I will say that there's two currently broken achievements on Xbox, but I'm hopeful that they're working on fixing that. I know. I don't even care. What, it came out like a week and a half ago.
Joe,
yeah, it's fairly ago? New.
Joe, get on this.
Yeah.
You don't think I tried, idiot.
Yeah, I don't. That's why I just told you, Joe, get on this.
Yeah, it's a surprisingly satisfying game.
To get us some duck games.
And they have more stuff on Steam. So, like, so there's updates DLC. Could be coming. I mean, there could be more to this. There's like a whole other map, at least. I mean,
that's nuts.
It's very exciting.
That is nuts. Also nuts. This could lead us into the news. Did y'all hear about the Activision Microsoft FTC thing?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that yes, but also there is breaking news about it.
Oh.
Did they get the emergency injunction?
Well, who? The FTC?
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
Okay. So
earlier today, news leaked that NASDAQ was removing Activision from its stuff. And then 36 minutes ago, it was just reported that the FTC's appeal has failed. The judge will not allow it.
Wow. Judge ruled against FTC's appeal of Microsoft's acquisition.
It looks like it will probably go through on before July 18th.
That's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
You get a merger.
Activision.
I get Activision for my birthday. I get other things for my birthday too, but that works. It's all mine.
But yeah, the big news of the week was that the FTC lost its case against Microsoft and the Activision deal was not going to be blocked in the US. They were appealing the decision, and then there you go. The breaking news on the show is that the appeal has failed. The motion has been denied. I've seen a lot of people thinking that if this did fail, which now it has, that we could see this close Monday.
Yep. Mm. Which is when Activision goes off, which is when Activision gets removed from NASDAQ. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine Monday they get purchased and like Thursday Microsoft's like, here's a whole shitload of new Game Pass games.
Well, you know, I saw someone posting something saying that they in the last couple days, some of the 360 multiplayer stuff and some other things that were glitchy were suddenly fixed.
Nice.
For like Call of Duty and stuff like that.
They brought back some older game servers that they were up and running.
Yeah, some stuff like that. So,
do you know which ones?
I don't off the top of my head. No. Just that, you know, COD people talking COD 90 stuff.
Of them. We can't keep track of how many Call of Duties are online, offline.
Well, no, I didn't know if it was like older Activision titles that like you knew of, like not like non-Call of Duty titles.
As far as I know, it's just older Call of Duty games were brought back online. Why? Is there a certain game you're wondering about?
No, I don't fucking know, man. I was just asking. And now I'm also regretting having posted all these memes on our Facebook page, because that's also how I like remind myself what news I wanted to talk about. And now I have to like sift through like 60 of these fucking things. Yep. I hate myself.
Yep. Yep.
This is my fault.
Yeah, it is.
Actually, it's yours. You let me do this.
Yeah. I guess I'll take full responsibility. Facebook.com/the SML podcast. Check us out there. Give us a like. I think we're circling in on what, like 450?
425.
Oh, are we at 420 yet? Or are
No, we've already passed that.
Oh, you didn't take a picture of it?
No, because we had like a a string of people join at once. Like for a while there, we were hovering at like 417, 418. And then I started posting like a shit. Well, this was like back in like February, March. I posted like a shit ton of memes, and people apparently liked those, and so they liked our page, and you know, here I am.
Yay.
Yay.
Yay. So anyone else want to say anything else about the Activision-Microsoft merger, which looks to be a go now?
I just really enjoyed the judge through the entire thing and all of the news around her. She was trending for a while, and it was just basically like, and every picture you would see coming out of there that like was about her in some way, and it was just like... I don't understand your bullshit. Like what is wrong with you people? Like it was really refreshing and lovely to witness. I loved everything about the judge.
Love I'm it. Just glad this means maybe the shit is done and we never have to fucking talk about it again.
Oh no, because then there'll be more mergers. Sony's gonna buy Square, and then Nintendo's gonna buy Ubisoft. And then Sega's gonna buy Konami.
I'd be okay with that last one.
Who does Atari buy?
Tiger.
Okay.
Atari buys a decent console.
No, Atari would be like Tiger's owned by Hasbro, so you gotta come up with somebody else, like Capcom, maybe?
Atari doesn't have that much money.
Oh, the real question is, who does ColecoVision buy?
Oh, man, Atari.
I had a ColecoVision. I had two whole games on it, and one of them was Buck Rogers.
What was the other?
I think it was like a little cat and mouse game. It was totally lame, but it came for free with the system, so whatever.
I still have a ColecoVision game that I've held on to as nostalgia. It's called Venture.
Ooh.
You're a little orange head, and you go into little mazes and pick up a treasure and then escape before a floating skull gets you.
That sounds fantastic.
It's pretty great. I loved it. Thimber saying that Tencent just bought Lucid Games today.
Hmm.
Who is Lucid Games?
Yeah, I'm not familiar.
I know the name, but I don't remember who they are.
Helpful.
Oh, they're former developers who worked on Geometry Wars 3 and Destruction All-Stars.
Destruction All-Stars?
Yeah.
What was that?
The PS5 game.
I feel like I heard them in the news recently for something else. Like, didn't they just partner with Sea of Thieves about, like, something?
They're listed on here as a developer, as a support studio.
Yes. So
maybe they're working on stuff there as well, but it looks like looks like Tencent picked them up.
Hmm.
Oh, did they worked on ports for Goat Simulator.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think that's where I know them from. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they worked on the console ports, so let's see. Brand new EA studio was announced this week called Cliffhanger Games, and they're going to be working on a game based on Marvel's Black Panther.
I'm cool with that.
Good talk, Aki. You're
EA
is so glad for your approval.
As it should be.
What are you eating, Aki?
Nothing anymore. I finished.
Oh.
I was just moving a cup, and it only had water in it, so nothing exciting, sadly.
Nah.
But I have tacos.
Like, have they announced anything about like who exactly is working on the Black Panther game, other than just like it's going to be done by EA?
Cliffhanger Games.
Well, I mean, I'm just kind of curious about it because this summer, the current Black Panther series, which just debuted for the first time, has like an all black staff on it. Like the writer, the artist, the penciler, My buddy Torin is doing the cover, the mainline covers for it. Yeah, so like that's pretty exciting. And I was wondering if like that was being, I mean, I'm not expecting like every single person, you know, working on Black Panther to be black, but you know,
The only name that I'm seeing mentioned is Kevin Stevens, formerly of Monolith Productions. He is the lead on the Black Panther game. So, I don't know. PlayStation Plus getting a lot of games this month. The extra,
like what?
The extra and premium tiers, the like their Game Pass service. They're getting 15 games. They're getting It Takes Two, Sniper Elite 5, SnowRunner, World War Z, The Ascent, Undertale, SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated. I know you'd be excited about that one, Jacob.
Yeah, I mean, I have it for Xbox, so.
Melty Blood Type Lumina. That sounds like an Aki game.
Pretty sure that's a fighting game.
Maybe. Dismantle Circus Electrique, which I still want to try. Like, I still haven't fired that one up yet. Got to pick it up. Dynasty Warriors 9, Samurai Warriors 5, Monster Jam Steel Titans, and then some Outright Games love with Fast and Furious Spy Racers and My Little Pony, A Maritime Bay Adventure.
Yes.
There's some pretty decent games on there.
Yeah, that's a hell of a lineup. And then there's the premium tier. You know the tier that I always bitch about, how they never have enough games?
Let me guess, they got one game.
No.
Zero?
They're blowing away expectations. They've got three games coming this month. A whopping three. Gravity Crush Portable from the PSP is going to be available. And then from the PlayStation 1, Twisted Metal 1 and Twisted Metal 2.
Hmm.
Eh.
Yeah. That's the PlayStation Plus lineup. Last bit of news I have is the whole limited run game showcase. Jacob, I know you watched this, didn't you?
No, I didn't watch it. I just read articles.
Oh, you just read well, you know the highlights, right?
Some of them.
Talk about it. Make, make yourself useful for one.
Yeah, no.
God knows I'm not going to.
No, I'm not going to make myself useful. Go away. The ones that I cared about, they're releasing a collection of the Jurassic Park games from the NES, Super NES, and Sega Genesis, I believe. So it's like, I think it's at least three games. I forget. And of course, there's multiple versions of it that you could buy, you know, from standard edition to like super limited edition with, you know, soundtracks and instruction manuals and replicas of the game cartridges and stuff like that. And also the Gex trilogy is getting a release. And I believe both of them are coming to Xbox as well. And I think like some of these titles are also getting physical Xbox editions too.
Yeah. I'll go down all the highlights. They mentioned a few titles that were already announced for Xbox that are getting physical Xbox releases, including the Castlevania Advance Collection, which is pretty cool. Rise of the Triad Ludicrous Edition and Gargoyles Remastered from Disney. Mm. Yeah, and then some new games. They announced Arzette, the Jewel of Faramir, which is an all-new interactive animated adventure, supposedly a spiritual sequel to those god-awful Legend of Zelda CDI games.
All right.
I don't know why you would want to make a spiritual sequel to what are regarded as some of the worst games ever, but...
Why wouldn't you?
Plumbers Don't Wear Ties Definitive Edition is going to be hitting, I believe, all platforms in September.
That I don't know anything about that, so...
It's an old 3DO, adultish, like live action game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like risque. I don't think there's any actual nudity in it or anything, but because God knows we can't have that in games. Another Crusade. I don't know much about this one. The description just says discover a 3D wooden puppet style world while exploring as a platformer and taking battles in turn-based combat as an old school RPG where timing and strategy are everything. So it sounds like a big mishmash. I'm interested. Yeah.
Puppets. Yeah, no, I can do that.
Then Jurassic Park Collection that you mentioned. Gex Trilogy. Can't wait for that. That'll be good. And a brand new Clock Tower remake. Revival. It's supposedly a collaboration between Capcom, Sunsoft, WayForward, and Limited Run.
I always find that so bizarre because, like, I never remember that Sunsoft is actually still around. Like, I keep forgetting, and, like, I just assume that they died after after, like, 1994 or so. And, yeah.
The coolest part about Clock Tower, music is going to be from Dale North.
Oh, that's rad.
How fucking cool is that?
Yeah.
That's so badass. And then they announced one more game. Tomba.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hitting everything but Xbox.
I was so pumped
for Tomba. I fucking love Tomba. And
I was going to ask what the fuck that was, but now I know I don't give a shit. So.
It's an old PS1 platformer adventure game. It was just really cool for its time. It had a great visual style. The sequel changed from 2D to 3D and kind of sucked. But, man, I really hope they reconsider and bring that to Xbox as well.
Who made it?
Whoopi Camp.
What a name.
Yeah. A lot of people thought it was a Sony IP, but it's not.
So yeah, I was about to say.
That's why it's popping up on other platforms.
Hmm.
So. Now, Thimber, they do not own the Tomba IP. A lot of people thought they did, but they don't. But yeah, that's the news I have. Aki, any news on your end?
No, I'm a lazy shit.
Yeah, you are.
Proud of you.
Yep.
Jacob, any news on your end?
So Sega of America has unionized.
Ah, I heard about that.
Good.
Good for them.
Hell yeah. I mean, there's that.
I thought there was more to that.
Yeah.
Nah, I really got nothing else on that part. But then
Sega unionized. Cool. Tell us about it. No. They unionized. Okay. Well, give us some details. It happened.
It was Sega of America.
It was voted on and approved.
And not Sega of Japan, though.
Yeah.
Always the hard-hitting news. However, we've got some Borderlands movie watch.
Oh, Lord.
It's still stuck in post-production hell. We still don't have a trailer. We still have, like, nothing. Apparently, there were reshoots back in March. And on top of it, one of the writers has removed their name from the credits.
Nice.
Which means everything that they
are Alan Smithying their way out of that movie. Got it.
Yeah. Or I mean, it's no longer recognizable from anything that they had written in. And like there is like a plot description and it sounds like a weird mismatch of like Borderlands 1 and 2. But, yeah, the fact that we still don't have a trailer for this damn thing is not good.
I'd be fine if it stays in that hell for the rest of my existence.
Yeah,
I'm so happy today, Aki.
I, I can't. I don't believe anyone is going to be able to make a good Borderlands movie. That's
you
just
think so?
No, no.
Why not?
Because I don't think enough of Borderlands itself makes any fucking sense. So no movie is going to make any fucking sense either. It's all fucking gibberish.
No,
the main reason people like it is because there's lots of games and people explode.
I do like the explosions.
I mean,
exactly.
All right, but here's the thing. All right, so it's like you've got four treasure hunters up against some evil corporation. And it's a race against time to find some sort of an artifact out in the middle of like a hellish Mad Max-ish
planet. You're naming like half the movies that exist, okay?
All right, but the thing is, you're like, oh, I don't think they could really make a movie out of it. Yeah, they totally. I just gave it to you. Like, there you go. There's a movie that you could put in the Borderlands thing. It's not that fucking difficult.
I don't think you can make sense of the universe. So, no, I don't think.
We know you don't, but like.
Clearly I'm right, because no one wants to be associated with this fucking movie.
I mean, Kevin Hart does. I mean, because he cashed a pretty nice paycheck, apparently, along with Kate Blanchett, for whatever reason.
I don't know. Anyway, what other news?
That's all I got. I mean, come on, you should always know that.
What you got, Bree?
Hey, I'm talking.
No one cares.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Damn it.
Oh, man. All right. So no one's going to care about this, but trailer just dropped for Dark Legion DC. It's going to be a mobile game, but I really like the Dark Multiverse for what little I care about DC anymore these days. So, I mean, comic-wise, that was a cool thing, and I'm kind of curious to see what it is. It's like some sort of... It'll be out in fall. So that's all they had. It's like really just a teaser trailer.
Dark DC is in like Constantine and stuff, or
no, what? More like, you know, when Superman went bad and, you know, stuff like that. The Joker,
he smoked cigarettes.
No, he went all, like,
Injustice.
Yes, like kind of like Injustice. Yes, it's more dark on that side. Yes, thank you.
Dark,
that was a good
dark like Superman 3.
Just don't even bother trying.
Pick a timely movie reference. The young kids today loving Christopher Reeves, that young hot stud actor. He's got a future ahead of him, I think.
Honestly, I'd really just enjoyed hearing the exasperation in Bree's voice.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I will keep that in mind, and then I will never let you hear it again.
Oh.
I'm gonna tease and then withhold. Speaking of teasing, though, because I'm gonna segue myself here, we got teased that we were supposed to get Maquette from Annapurna on Game Pass, and it didn't happen, and they finally announced that it will be on Game Pass on July 19th. That's Wednesday. Yay. I am super excited for Maquette.
So, Joe, now you know another game.
Closer to the microphone, Aki. You're cutting out.
Now you know, Joe, now you know another game that I want.
I bet you guys have to do this on the show.
Because I forgot to do it earlier.
Have you requested that rubber ducky game yet, Joe? So that's a no, I guess. I'll remind you after the show.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
So yeah, that's my news.
I'll just play all these wrestling sound clips. Like this is a good one that fits the mood. Hey, Jacob.
You are going to get your fucking head kicked in.
You should touch me where my penis cries. Oh dear. I don't remember saying
back to the couch. Right. Obviously.
Yes.
Obviously, we need to get you to, you know, get out your latent something with a real therapist.
Yeah. So, Maquette in Game Pass.
Yes. Very excited for Maquette.
You want to know what I'm excited about?
What?
The Xbox summer sales apparently starting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it had already started.
Yeah, today. It's
in the future. It's started in places that live in the future.
Yeah. It's been popping up for the past hour. I've been getting pop-ups like, this game's 40% off. This game's 30% mm-hmm. off. And I'm like, I have no money for any of you.
I need to see if Ender Lilies is going to be on sale. Because I want the game.
Aki just mumbling to herself.
Yeah, I want to see if Ender Lilies is on sale. Because I want that game. And I missed the last sale where it was like 60% off or something. So I'm hoping it's on sale.
I've got my eyes on Miasma Chronicles. That one's down to $30.
I'm not sure I'm familiar with that one.
It's from the makers of Mutant Year Zero, like a futuristic strategy.
Oh, that's their newer one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fimber wants to discuss the IGN ID showcase. Who watched that?
I did.
I didn't even know these things were happening, so.
Yeah, there was an ID at Xbox showcase that happened this week. I know the big thing that happened was that they showed off Axiom Verge 2, and they're like, hey, it's out now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a bunch of stuff, and a lot of it was very IGN and not enough ID.
In what ways? Like, what happened?
There was a point where, I don't know, it just felt like an IGN showcase and you know, ads for IGN and not as much focused on the ID stuff. Also, the hosts they had were something.
Oh, my.
Yeah, apparently I'm just not familiar because I don't follow IGN, but a couple of them, I guess, were like their regular hosts of things. And I don't know, maybe it's just not my flavor. But they showed off the couch co-op for Vampire Survivors.
Nice.
And that went on way too long.
Oof.
Yeah. How could that go on also, too long?
Vampire Survivors is awesome to watch.
Oh yeah, no. The Vampire Survivors part was okay. It was the people playing it that were less okay.
Oh.
Did they just suck at it or something? Or
I don't know that they. Yeah, I guess. I don't know how to explain it. And then they talked about like lots of demos. There's lots of demos we can check out.
Yeah, the demo fest is going on.
Over this weekend, yeah. What is it? It's through until Monday or something. There's a whole bunch of stuff to check out.
I think until some the of them 17th, sure last. I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them will probably stay up after the event ends. A bunch of them will go away, though. So browse the list. There's a tile on the storefront. Mm-hmm, you could check it out. A bunch of games from the ID at Xbox program. Demos to play. Some stuff's available now, so you could get a taste of it and buy it if you like it. And some stuff isn't out for a while yet, so get an early look at some good stuff. Sea of Stars has a demo.
Yeah, I've been waiting for that one. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, I want that one. So, all right.
So, yeah.
Anything else, or should we dive into reviews?
Review this. Yes. Let's do the reviews.
Yes.
I can't even, like, get excited for the reviews that she doesn't have many of.
When you've spent as many hours in just one fucking game as I have, you just don't have that anymore.
Is it a game that you had to review for tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, we'll get to it. First game to talk about is Scarf, developed by Uprising Studios, published by Handy Games, released July 6th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $9.99, What does it mean to be a hero, to fulfill your destiny or to rebel against it? Scarfit is an exciting single-player puzzle adventure that blends lyricism with a 3D platform game to offer an allegorical journey through beautiful worlds. Will you discover their secrets, and at what cost? Jacob, what is going on in Scarf?
So Scarf tells the tale of this dragon who was living, you know, this wonderful, peaceful life in the cosmos with its mother until these beings came along and essentially discover like that the dragons have this like amazing ability to do various stuff, which I realize is not particularly descriptive, but they end up killing the mom and then using like these like pieces of threads from the mom to go off and do various stuff. And so the baby dragon or child dragon goes off and hides and then finds you, who is this seemingly nameless character, and realizes that unlike everyone else, you're a kindred spirit and perhaps you can help, you know, heal this dragon, which also turns into a scarf for you. And restore order to either the world or the dragon's life. And what that involves is you do a lot of exploring and you solve puzzles so you can get from point A to point B and gather up more pieces of the scarf or threads or power-ups, whatever you really just want to call them. So you can get farther in the world and go off and do more cool stuff. It's a very, I wouldn't call it quiet, but almost like meditative game. Like you're never in any real trouble. Like if you fall off a platform and like, you know, you fall into the water, you just start right back at, you know, the nearest safe point or pretty much just along the shore of wherever you were. Like nothing's really timed. I mean, like, yeah, there is timing cause it's a platforming game, but at the same time, like there's no real actual hurry to it. And so the game just lets you experience stuff. Like it's a very chill platformer. Not once did I ever like, you know, start becoming worried like, oh God, what am I like, how am I going to finish this? Like, you know, like there was never like a timer on it. You know, it's just, if a puzzle seems like it's, you know, if the solution to a puzzle like didn't seem obvious, the game encourages that you explore, you know, explore the area around you, or just maybe you're just not in the right place right now. And so you have to go off somewhere else and then come back to it later on. And like it's broken up with like little segments which have like a poem or the story that goes along with it. And yeah, it's just like you just keep going and you get new stuff like a double jump ability. There's like a gliding ability. You know, it's all standard stuff that you would find in most 3D platformers. And yeah, like I really enjoyed my time with this game. Like it's solid. Like the graphics are beautiful. And
it's a good looking game.
Yeah. Like the environments are fantastic. And I like the quiet, I don't want to call it melodic.
I like when you're quiet like too. That's usually really good. I gotcha.
I was trying so hard not to make that joke. I was trying to be nice, and then you went and did it. Fuck you.
You're all terrible.
Brie, anyway, you played this too, didn't you?
I did.
What did you think of it?
I mean, a lot of what Jacob just said, like, you know, it had a really good kind of like meditative vibe to it. Exploring. I really liked that there was some places that, at least on my first go through, there's like a hub world. So I feel like I'm going to get to go back, but you gain skills as you go along that allow you to like glide and swing and do different things. And there were some places where the scarf just like would not let me go. Like there was afraid of the dark or yep. something. And like the other creatures there, like the little people are kind of like hoarding the light because it's precious and something that like the others were trying to steal along with the dragon. And so you're kind of collecting this light to refuel things so you can find your way through this world. But there's like areas you just can't reach right away. And I'm really intrigued to be able to go back. And then there's like hidden collectibles. And so there's like some extra layers to it that I thought were really good. And I think Thimber said in there, it reminded me of Rhyme as well. It also reminded me a little of Omno, which are both games that I really enjoyed. So, yeah, I had a really good time with it.
Ooh. That's true. I forgot about Rhyme. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely similar to that.
Now I kind of want the game.
Yeah. My only qualm was like at the beginning, like, you know, it's like, oh, you should explore and look around. But then it was just like, if you strayed too far, like it would immediately pop you back. And it's just like, okay, what are your actual parameters? Like,
am I supposed to be
exploring or not?
Yeah, that were kind of unclear what I was supposed to do. But I mean, ultimately, I was able to figure my way through most of it. So
like one thing I thought was really neat is like how there would be bits of rock where at a distance, it almost looked like an arrow pointing to where you were supposed to be. But then as like you got closer, it didn't look anything like an arrow. And I was like, that's an interesting art choice.
Yeah. I don't think I noticed anything like that. I'll have to keep my eyes peeled.
So, yeah, I really liked it.
$10 game. What is your official verdict?
Shit. Seriously?
Yep. That's $9.99.
Wow. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I was not expecting it to be that cheap.
Surprise.
Yeah, and it's not a super long experience. Like, I think you can get to it in, you know, 5-6 hours or less, depending on your skill level or your, you know, willingness to, like, go through. But, like, that's still a very good price point for that, I'd say.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Cool. Like, this is a must-buy.
Cool. Sounds good. Bree, I think that's it for you.
Yeah, I'm going to bounce, but thanks for letting me hang out with you guys again.
Yeah, love having you on anytime. Feel free to drop by next week. We're going to have a huge, huge gathering next week.
We are?
Well,
yeah,
we'll be fun. See what I can do. I might finally have some of my people back. So we'll see. We'll see.
Cool. Well, you have yourself a wonderful night. Where can people keep up to date with you and what you're doing?
Well, I'm Lady Magritte at just about everything, and I'm going to go play some games, probably involving Placid Plastic Ducks.
And another stuff tonight too. Or just ducks?
Other stuff too. I just, you know, the ducks are still going. I may as well just start with the ducks and then get it out of my system and move on.
So recovering from the bean dive.
Oh yeah, I'm doing more bean dive recovery. So yep, that's what I'm
What's
doing.
What's that?
Bean dive is an event that people do to mess with their statistics on a certain website. And you just go in, you get one achievement in a game, and then you bounce, and then you go back later and you try and finish all of those games that you started within a reasonable amount of time and recover some of your statistics. You know, it's all numbers and things. It's really supposed to just be an extra motivation to help you get to that stuff that, you know, the pile of shame that you bought this game and then just never started it. And then there's like these 30, 40, 60 other games that you didn't get. I did 69.
Nice.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
You did all 69?
I did 69 games for my dive. So, yep.
How many have you recovered so far?
I have recovered 3 total ones, and 2 more are really close, and then I've worked on a few others. So, yep. Doing okay.
So, 3.
Yep, 3.
A lot of work left.
Hey, you know, if it takes all year, it takes all year. I'm good with it. I feel like I started stuff that I wanted to start, and I found some cool games in there that, you know, maybe help shake me out of my funk a little and get me away from ducks. Oh my gosh, ducks! All right, I'm gonna duck out.
Hi.
Hi.
See ya.
Quack quack. Next game, Super Trunco Go, developed by 88 Polygons, published by Dolores Entertainment, released July 14th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $9.99. The ominous Lord Tusk is up to his tricks again and threatens planet domination. Lord Tusk and his dark magic is controlling the planet's citizens and is wreaking havoc in every corner. Professor Ellie, the planet's key advisor, acknowledges this threat and seeks for Super Trunco, a space elephant, for help. Take control of Super Trunco in this challenging top-down shooter and blast your way until you restore peace. Jacob, what's going on in Super Trunco Go?
So, Super Trunco Go is a, like, it's not like exactly top down, but what do they call it? Because it's not asymmetric either, right?
Isometric.
Isometric. Thank you. Yeah. Asymmetric would be kind of weird. But yeah, so it's an isometric shooter, and you're running around as this, like, you know, elephant robot guy who's he's pretty much Mega Man, except a robot. You know, so imagine if, like, you, so imagine that you're a Mega Man fanboy who wants to run around as Flame Mammoth, but none of the weapons that Flame Mammoth has, and you have to save the world from, you know, a elephant Dr. Wily. And that's pretty much it. It's just, you're running around levels, you're picking up weapons, and there's a bunch of different weapons that you can use that you have at your disposal, and the game encourages you to try to find different strategies on usage and firing rates and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't really matter, just don't run out of ammo, which I thought was one of, like, the least helpful things that I ever that I ever saw in a tutorial, where the game was just like, well, if you're out of ammo, you should probably just restart and try again and not suck. And I was like, oh, well, that's odd, because, I mean, like, you'd figure at least, like, in Mega Man or Metroid or Contra, all these kind of games, like, you know, you still at least have a basic weapon. This game's like, nope, screw you. And yeah, and so it's just, you have to run around, beat up all these different robots, you know, go through crates, get more ammo, get artifacts, find the key that will disable barriers, and then just make it to the exit. Wash, rinse, repeat. And then, like, eventually you do have bosses that you have to defeat. And it's, like, I don't know. Like, the gameplay was, like, the gameplay was okay. I thought that the controls were a little, I just never got used to them. Like, how dash was, like, I mean, the game really wants you to rely on dash instead of being able to jump. And it's just, like, it never, like, it never felt comfortable for me, like, being able to use weapons and, like, and jump, or use the weapons and dash at the same time. And it just, like, I ended up getting my, like, I just ended up getting my butt kicked a lot with it. Proud and it's you. Just, thanks. Like, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it also just didn't really do much for me. And, like, I essentially just, like, kept going just because I had to review this game. Like, it was all right. I don't know. I just didn't find it to be, like, particularly fun. Like, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great either.
Yeah, well, it's $10. What do you think about it?
I'd wait for a sale. Like, I mean, it's fine, but it's just there. I mean, did you get to play it at all, Joe?
I did not. I know you were.
Oh, okay.
It's been a week.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for, like, Mega Man action, like, I'd recommend checking out Project Delta, that came out, like, a few weeks back. I mean, this game's not bad, but as I said, if you're looking for that Mega Man itch, this one I don't think it's really going to solve it.
All right, well, moving on. Next game to talk about is Deadliest Catch, the game developed by 4Fishing, published by Ultimate Games, released June 29th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Switch for $24.99, coming in the future to PS4 and PS5 as well. Hey, you, yes, you, do you want to be a landlubber your whole life? Or maybe you dream of making a fortune sailing dangerous seas and learning the secrets of king crab catchers. Are you not afraid of risks, storms, and crab claws? If you're brave enough, come with me to Dutch Harbor. Jacob, what's going on in Deadliest Catch the Game?
First off, it is one of the slowest simulation games I've ever played. It is so amazingly slow, even when your character is running around the port, like, or the harbor, the Haba. And the game is just like, yo, you should really check out the tutorial. I highly agree. You do need to check out the tutorial, so you understand everything that's going on in the game. And so it drops you off at the harbor, which is done with like PS2 level graphics. And you have to buy a bunch of supplies and then get on your boat. And then, you have to, like, it shows you how to work the map system and, you know, all right. So you should take into consideration the water temperature and the wind speed and, you know, how your armpits smell today and like five other things. And then go to your next part where you're going to drop off the crab pots and, you know, eventually sort out the crabs that you caught and, you know, go back to town and sell them and then repeat the process again. Except this time you now get to hire people to be on the boat. So you're not doing every single part all by yourself unless you absolutely want to. And, you know, then you get to assign roles and, you know, steer your ship. And then you eventually start getting to do entire seasons of jobs. And, like, you know, you have to make as much money as possible and make sure that people are getting paid and that you have enough supplies and that you're sorting them correctly and that the people are doing them correctly. And it's just, like, for a show that is, like, sometimes as exciting as it is, oh my god, like, this, no. it was just like, no, like, by myself, this was like one of the most boring simulation games possible. And the thing that sucks about it too is that if this had like some sort of like couch multiplayer or even online multiplayer, like, I could see this working. Like, I honestly could see it working. Like, it's just like, okay, like, you know, I'm going to have Joe steer the ship. I'm going to have Aki, like, handling the crab pots and stuff like that. I'm going to handle the absolute shit crane controls, you know, and we're just, like, going to count crabs together and sing Kumbaya over Xbox Live. You know, like, honestly, that could, like, I think it would be better. It would have been a better experience instead of just having to deal with AI that, like, you have to push to, like, get tasks done and, like, keep assigning roles. Otherwise, they just stand there with their finger up their nose. Like, I possibly had higher hopes for this game than I should have. And it's just, it was not fun. Like, it's just the graphics are not, like, that good to look at. The gameplay is a tad boring. Everyone moves at a snail's pace, and it's just, it's just such a yeah, no.
Well, it's $25. I need an official verdict on it.
If you could grab this game for like $7 or less, maybe, but at $25, I'm still like, no. It's just to deny it.
All right. One final game to talk about tonight. The Outer Worlds Spacer's Choice Edition, developed by Obsidian, published by Private Division, released March 7th on Xbox Series X and S and PS5 for $59.99. As you explore Space Colony, the character you decide to become will determine how this player-driven story unfolds. In the colony's corporate equation, you are the unplanned variable. Aki, you reviewed this one a couple of weeks ago, and now you have you've dived into the DLC, and you're going to talk about that. So, what all do you want to say about Spacer's Choice Edition?
All right. It's a long motherfucker. That's the first thing I'd like to say about this goddamn game. I in these 3 weeks, not quite full 3 weeks, but close, I've spent 195 and some other minutes in it. I've spent entirely too many goddamn hours in this game. Entirely too many. That's over 8 days worth of time in 3 weeks. Just don't do this to yourselves, folks. Spread this over a much longer period of time. Don't be me. Don't be stupid. Each one of the DLCs, because there's two of them, open up brand new areas to go to, and have their own little contained story. Thankfully, you can leave those planets and still go about your life and all the other planets if you want. So that's really nice. One of them is a murder mystery where you get to play detective, and it is really, really fun. I really enjoyed it. It was fantastic. And the other one puts you on an asteroid and gives you some new backstory stuff to the bad guy marauders, basically. And you get to fuck over the first company you really come across in the main game. So it's great. It has plenty of twists and turns. Both of them do. So that was really nice. Lots of people took flaws against some of the starting animal types, specifically against primals, which is something you take too much damage from a primal, which is a big ape-like thing. You can take a flaw that gives you an extra point to upgrade your character with. Probably don't want to do that anymore, because one of the DLCs is a lot of primals. So that was great, and I think they did that on purpose, because they knew everyone was taking that flaw where they took more damage from primals, because that was like, you didn't find them anywhere, and they're like, okay, this DLC, that's like half the enemies. Have fun, assholes. It's like, yes, it was great. I think they increased the level cap. I don't know if there was a level cap in the main game or not. I believe there was. Everything made it sound like there was. And the DLC, I believe, lifted that up higher. So that was cool. I think I got to like level 53 or something by the time I finished all of this. And I think the original max was like 30, I believe. So, yeah. I still wasn't high enough leveled, in my opinion, but that's because I didn't have all the skills unlocked yet. I really want everything. And yeah, you get plenty of new, unique weapons. Yes, go ahead and add to it.
Unique.
Yeah.
You do it weird, Jacob. You got unique.
Unique.
There you go.
Just don't have to do it.
Yeah, of course we do.
Really don't.
I have to talk softly in your ear.
God, no, stop.
Yeah, you could stop.
That's gross. Each of the two DLCs has three brand new science weapons for you. So that's cool, especially if you're specking up to be a science person. And there's a whole bunch of, you know, just the standard special weapons that you can find throughout the area. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. One DLC, the murder on, what was it called? Eutychris or something like that. It takes place basically just on that one planet, and that's it. It has brand new factions in it and everything. The other one, which I don't, Peril on Gorgon, I believe it is, it takes place a lot on an asteroid called Gorgon, but then it also sends you off to the planets you've already visited as part of the main story. So it is very much when you're getting close to the end of the game, that's when technically when you really want to play both of these generally, because you should be level 25 for one of them and level 30 for the other one. And it takes a long time to get to those levels. Because again, 200 hours and I'm only level 53, so yay. And yeah, I really like all of the voice acting in the game. It's fantastic. I really like all the silly shit that you can say to people, and I really like going stealth and killing everything, so you know, that's great. And
the
best thing
about
this,
you were lying about 200 hours. I just did the math. It's only 198.
Yeah, as I said, it's like 195-ish, I think. Yeah. I said when I
first started. You have to include time for pooping.
Yeah, pooping time.
What?
What?
What the hell's pooping time? I'm so confused.
What?
What is pooping time?
What do you think pooping time is?
When you go poop. Yeah. But I don't understand why that time...
Yeah, so that's where the other 2 hours came in.
Yeah.
It's 198 hours to play the game, 2 hours to poop. Pooping. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Oh, okay, crazy people. And the thing I like the most about
this
game...
She not poop or something, Jacob? Like, what the fuck?
Apparently not. I mean, well, then again, if she eats enough rallies, she might be a bit blocked up.
Fair. But my favorite thing about this game is that it's done. At this point, because I've played this too long, too...
That's fair.
...too quickly. I did manage in this one playthrough to get... 33 out of the 38 achievements, I think it is, or 63 out of 68, something like that. 910 gamer score out of 1,000.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and to get the rest of this, I have to literally start the game all over again.
You're not going to do that, are you?
Not anytime soon, no. This is, maybe I'll do this in a year or two.
Next year you can do it. You can revisit it in a year.
Yeah, because...
Or when the sequel gets announced, you could talk about it.
Maybe. But yeah, because there are some achievements in this game that are like, you have to do stuff at the beginning of the game, and then at the end of the game, you get a payoff. And there's two of them that are mutually exclusive.
I can't...
So,
that's hilarious.
Like I don't think it's fucking hilarious the fuck at all.
The second longest person on my friends list that has played this game is 18 hours. And you have 8 days. That's insane. That is dedication. But it is a $60 game. What are your thoughts on it?
I am so for this. You're definitely getting your fucking time's worth by factors. Again, the voice acting is fantastic. The companion characters are really good. They have lots of amusing things that they say to each other and to you, even when you're not like talking to them, just when you're running around doing things in world. If you have, obviously, you can only keep two out of your five or six companions with you in the field, but they'll talk to each other and to you, and it's all real funny, and the guns are awesome, and I really like it. So yeah, I think it's totally 100% worth it.
Nice. And if you are considering picking it up, it is apparently part of the Xbox summer sale for $40.19.
Oh shit. Hell yeah. Price,
but $40 for the game and all the DLC sounds like a win to me. So
it is very much fantastic.
All right, well, that is it for this episode. We made it through.
Woo!
And it's been removed. All right.
What's been removed?
That game. Oh. On my hard drive. I'm good now.
You deleted Outer Worlds?
Yes. I'll install it maybe next year or the year after, 5 years from now, something. At some point, it's going to start really bothering me that I haven't 100%ed it, but that time ain't fucking right now.
Oh, Lord. Well, since we're talking about space, how about we listen to some DuckTales, the moon?
DuckTales, woohoo. Sure.
Jacob, any thoughts?
I had something that I was going to say as my final words, and I don't remember what the hell they were going to be, and it really bothers me.
Anyways.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's like, that's what I'm going to go out on. Like, that sucks. But, you know, it is normal for me, so. Eat a dick.